Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and from that risen and ascended Lord and Savior who continues to intercede on our behalf, bringing our needs and His forgiveness to us. For the last several weeks, we've had the opportunity to focus our attention on sections from the book of Revelation. And as our Easter season comes to a close, we want to focus this morning briefly on just the one verse, that last verse that we read moments ago, Revelation chapter 22, verse 20. The one who testifies about these things says, "Yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus." That's the last prayer recorded in the Scriptures. Almost the last verse. There's one last little short blessing that is offered to God's people. Short little verse, familiar little verse. I suppose the moment you and I hear those words, "Come, Lord Jesus," you're immediately thinking about that very common table prayer that perhaps you use every day, maybe every meal. And as we think about that short little verse, there are two words that also kind of jump out at us. Simple words, words that we regularly use, words that we could say without even thinking about them. The one word is yes, and the other one is amen. As we think about those two words, and as you and I think about this amazing prayer, "Come, Lord Jesus," we marvel at our risen Lord. We rejoice in our ascended Savior. "Come, Lord Jesus." He says, "Yes." And that's why we say, "Amen." He says, "Yes." Good thing, too, because there were those, like in the days of the Apostle Peter, he talks about them in his second letter, that were wondering if Jesus really was coming. In chapter 3 of 2 Peter, he talks about the scoffers. He talks about those who say, "So, where is this promised coming?" They take a look at history and they say, "Nothing's really changing. Nothing is happening. Things are going on day after day. One day follows the next. Jesus and you, his followers, kept on talking about a coming, but doesn't seem to be happening. So is he really going to come?" That wasn't a new question. You could go all the way back to Exodus chapter 32, and while they didn't word it quite the same way, it was pretty much the same question. They had been camping at the base of Mount Sinai. The children of Israel had left Egypt. They'd gone through the Red Sea. They had heard the voice of God Himself give them the Ten Commandments. They'd seen the thunder and the lightning and the cloud. Moses now goes up on the mountain, and he is getting some of the more of the details, and he's been gone for 40 days. And so after 6 weeks, in a sense, they're saying, "Well, is he coming or not? Make us some gods. Moses has disappeared. We don't know what's happened to him. We don't know when he's coming back. So let's just make up our own." And so if after 6 weeks, people are wondering if God's coming back, days of Peter, if after 30 years maybe, people are wondering if he's coming back, probably no surprise that you and I, nearly 2,000 years later, might hear people saying, "Really? Come, Lord Jesus? You really think he's going to?" And he says, "Yes." The one who testifies about these things says yes. The one who's busy testifying, you and I marvel that the entire book of Revelation really is Jesus. After he rose and after he ascended, giving this revelation to the Apostle John, he sends his angel to tell you and me all the things that he is now doing. He's the one that says yes. Look at all the things that I've testified about. Even within the book of Revelation itself, he has testified the sin. That there is that sin, there is that barrier that has been put up by us who have rebelled against our Lord and our God. And because of that, there is a separation that has taken place. Something needs to happen if we and God are going to be brought back together again. He's testified about that. He's testified about death. In fact, he's pictured as the Lamb who had been slain. And just as you and I need to face death, so our perfect substitute has already faced death. He's testified about Satan, that great dragon who rebelled against God as he swung his tail and a third of the stars are swept from the sky, all the rest of the demons that rebelled along with him, cast down the earth in judgment, and yet somewhat on a rather short chain, but enough that you and I can recognize that he's busy at work and his tail is still swinging and he's still trying to gather as many people as he can and he's hoping to catch you before Jesus comes again. He's testified to the battle, the war that rages for your soul. Some of that we're very much aware of. Some of that we don't really notice. But if Satan is busy battling Jesus for your soul, our Lord and our God assures you, even when you're very much aware of that battle, and it seems as if you are about to lose it, you and I are reminded because Jesus himself testified to the fact that the Lamb has won. You have won. Forgiveness is yours. Jesus is the one who testifies about all of those things, and he's the one who now says, when we hear the phrase, "Come, Lord Jesus," yes. He says, "Yes, I am coming soon." Those are neat words. I am coming. Not I will come. I am coming. It's sort of like when you're expecting somebody to come for a visit and you get the text that says, "On my way." You already knew that the plan was to be there right around noon. You knew when they were going to get there. But as soon as you get that little note that says, "On my way," now you know that they are en route. Jesus says, "I am coming." He just, in a sense, texted you, "I'm on my way. I'm coming. You can expect me at any time." Yes, I am coming, Jesus says. You take a look at all the stuff that's going on in this world and all the stuff that's happening in your life, and you know that Jesus is coming soon. Quickly. Now again, you know that your concept of time and God's concept of time aren't quite the same. It was in that same second letter of Peter that he talked about the fact that with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. He's just in one great big now. So what might seem like a long time for us is still giving you and me the comfort of knowing that Jesus is the one who says, "Yes, I am coming, and I'll be coming soon." Hang in there. Hold on to him. Cling to the word. He's coming. He has not abandoned you. Just as he prayed in the gospel lesson, "I'm not going to leave you as orphans." Yes, I am coming soon. And when we hear our Lord and our Savior say that amazing little word, "Yes," that's when we say, "Amen. Come, Lord Jesus." Now I'm going to warn you, you're going to hear the word "Amen" a lot. Refrain from standing up. Hey, I'll let you know when we get to the last one. He talks about amen. You know what amen means. We often use it as that word of assent. "Yes, I agree. This is how it's going to be. May it be just as you have promised." Very regularly as we gather in public worship for our prayers, it might be one voice that says the prayer, and then a lot of voices says, "Yes, we agree with that. Amen." Come, Lord Jesus. But can you really be that sure? Can you lend your amen when Jesus says, "Yes, I am coming"? We're filled with doubt. And while perhaps we may not necessarily vocalize doubts that say, "Well, I'm not really sure he's coming," there may be those times when how you and I live and how you and I act would seem to testify to the fact that we don't think he's going to come. We act as if he's not coming. We get all wrapped up in what's happening here. We get all wrapped up in what's going on in this life, the things that I have, the things I think that I need, the things that I can acquire, the places I can go to. And we live for that, and that grabs our attention, and it grabs our focus, and we begin to think that that's what's the most important, and we go through life without really thinking about the fact that, "Come, Lord Jesus," and that he is coming. And when we forget, and we start to live as if He isn't coming, then perhaps we lead others to lose their focus on God, and might even train and teach others to think that Jesus really isn't coming. Perhaps that's why the very last prayer recorded in Scripture is, "Come, Lord Jesus," and we add our amen to that phrase. Even though we sometimes struggle, even though we've got the sinful natures that rebel against our Lord and our God, you know He's coming. We've got that assurance because He said so. We know that we are redeemed, not because I'm feeling it, not because I deserve it, not because I did something to get there. It's because Jesus says I am. He entered into this world and He lived and He died for you and for me. We know that we're forgiven. And so we also know that He's coming. Come, Lord Jesus. We can say that prayer with absolute confidence because He says He's coming. And we lend our amen to that as we confess that absolute confidence in our Lord and in our Savior. And so we say, "Come, Lord Jesus." And just as Jesus had said, "I am coming," so when you and I say, "Come, Lord Jesus," we're basically saying, "Keep on coming. Dear Lord, just as You said You are, and just as You have promised, keep on coming. Don't get sidetracked. Don't get waylaid. Don't change your mind and turn back. Keep on coming. Lord, the One who's in control, the One who has made promises and has kept promises, the One that takes us all the way back to the promises of the Old Testament from the I Am God, the unchanging God in love and mercy and grace and justice. That's the Lord who's coming. And that's the Lord that we say, "Keep on coming. Don't turn back. Come, Lord Jesus." Jesus is the One who has already come once. Yes, He is the majestic Lord. Yes, He has glory given to Him ever since the foundations of the world. Yes, He had set that glory aside for the moment when He entered into this world and wrapped Himself in human flesh. Jesus is God. Jesus is the Lord, the unchanging Lord and God who is now your brother. And we're asking the One who had come already once to be our Lord and our Savior to keep on coming again, to come at that end of time and bring us to that sure and certain home of heaven. Come, Lord Jesus. That's anticipation. Remember how you were anticipating a visit. Depending upon how old you are determines some of the things that you did to get ready. When you were younger, perhaps as you were anticipating that visit of that best friend, perhaps it's been a little while since you'd seen him or her, and so there were some things that you did to get ready. You pulled out the favorite toys, you pulled out the things that you like to do together, and then you ran to the front door and you stood there. And you just watched. And you just waited. And you stared out that window. Probably did the same thing when Grandma and Grandpa were coming. Mom and Dad said they were there. They're coming soon. They're standing at the window waiting. If you're a little bit older, and maybe you're the grandparent waiting for the grandchildren to come, or that long-lost friend that you hadn't seen since high school, maybe you do. Maybe you don't just stand at the window. But there are some things that you do to get ready. But you always make sure that as you get all done with this, you quick check the window. Nope, no car out there yet. Well, you go do something else, and then you come back and you look out the window again, and you just keep checking. Anticipation. Come, Lord Jesus. Keep checking the window. God's given you things to do. He doesn't want you to just stand there and not do anything. He's given us things that He wants us to accomplish. He's given us the Word. He has given us the privilege of being His voices in this world. He's given us the opportunity to let others know about His forgiveness. But as you're doing His Word, keep checking the window. Keep looking to see if He's coming. That amazing anticipation, because you know that the Lord is on His way. Come, Lord Jesus. As you and I think about those three words, especially in the context of that table prayer, We want Jesus to be with us. And he says, yes, I want to be with you. And then we lend our amen. Yes, it shall be so. With that absolute confidence that Jesus is coming. And when he comes, you and I who have been washed clean in the blood of the Lamb will be able to be with him forever in the glories of heaven. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen.